Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17. Here's the word of the Lord. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I hope you have your Bibles open to this letter of Paul, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. We're particularly looking at verses 1 through 4. But also we'll be taking a peek at Colossians chapter 2. So I hope you'll be prepared for that and follow along as we go through this study. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask now that you might take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, and that may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we hope you had a happy Easter as best we all could in this different kind of setting. We've been having some virtual reality celebrations, birthday parties and gatherings and movies together. And so that's been a way of connecting with one another at this time. And especially just being able to be together with our immediate family for Easter, which is, I think, the best we could all do last Sunday. And yet still, we have cause to rejoice, whether we keep our traditions or not. We have cause to rejoice because we are remembering that we are raised with Christ, who has been raised. Of course, this is what every Sunday is supposed to be about. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, as we call it the Lord's Day on the first day of the week. And so we remember Christ's resurrection not just one day of the year, not even just one day of the week, but for the rest of our lives. What Paul is saying here is that you and I are living the resurrected life in Christ. And that means as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection, we can't get enough of it. We want more and more of all that that means for us as we live this new life in our risen Lord, our living Savior, our resurrected life in Christ. And I want to begin by looking at verses 12 to 15 of this passage. Just read that again. This is a summation of the resurrected life. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. These are verses we need to hear, especially at a time like this, because we're cooped up, we're living with the same people every day, and we need to be reminded of the way of love, the way of Christ, the way of the resurrected Christ. And it's interesting, Paul has this theme of putting on and putting off and putting on, like we're putting off old clothes and putting on new, which is something we know well about. We have to do it every day, putting off old, worn-out clothes and putting on fresh, clean, new clothes. And that's what he's saying about putting on love in our lives and doing it repeatedly, day by day and moment by moment. We're going to look at that a little bit, as what that means to live the resurrection life. But none of this could happen without the reality of the resurrection itself. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this: "Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime." Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. So we're all caught up with the news and what's the latest on this pandemic and how it's impacting us. And yet, spring is arriving. Spring is on its way. It's manifesting itself in so many wonderful ways, just as it always has, according to God's kindness and generosity to us. And so that's what Luther emphasizes here. Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. And Luther knew about hard times, so he went on to say this in light of the resurrection: "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces." Is the world going to pieces right now? Well, that's what it looks like, doesn't it? So Luther says, "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." So are you doing your gardening? Are you working on your flowers? This is the time we can do a lot of yard work, right? And so that was the hope that Martin Luther had because of the resurrection. So the resurrection of Jesus is central to everything that we do and say, everything that we are as Christians. And Paul lays that out so clearly in the great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." But Christ has indeed been raised, Paul goes on to say. Without the resurrection, we're living a lie. We're only deceiving ourselves. What we're doing right here and right now is a total waste of time. Tim Keller puts it this way: "If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. Everything that he said is true if he really rose from the dead. But if he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? We can just ignore him. The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he is alive right now, whether or not he rose from the dead. So it's because the resurrection did really happen at a certain place, at a certain time in history, that it's central to everything we can say about our Lord, everything we can say about the Bible, everything we can say about our Christian lives. The resurrection is foundational to life itself because it is life, life that will never end. And so this is why we who are living the resurrected life can never get enough of it. We've been raised with Christ, and we can never get enough of it, not only for the future in what we're looking forward to, but for right now in the present as we live each day in the light of our resurrected Lord. And so Christ's resurrection is totally relevant to your life and to mine, because right now you and I have been raised with Christ. You and I have been raised with Christ. That is your present standing. That is your present status as a resurrected Christian. And this is what Paul said here in Colossians 3 and verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You have been raised with Christ. What does that mean? And not only raised with Christ, but seated with Christ. Now, we were looking forward to the Olympics this summer, weren't we? And so all that's been changed. A new schedule is being devised for all of that. But one of the highlights for the athletes when they finally arrive at the Olympics is the victory ceremonies and receiving those medals. And there's only one person that stands on the victory stand who has won the victory. And so that's the victory that our Lord Jesus has won for us when he cried, "It is finished." Tetelestai, we talked about this last week. That one phrase really says it all about what Jesus accomplished for us. The price has been paid. The mission has been accomplished. And so he says, "It is finished." Now, what do you do when your work is done? Well, I know what I like to do. I like to sit down. I was doing my usual Saturday morning chores, Saturday afternoon chores, working on my lawn and enjoying that, working on grass, putting some grass seed in. That's always exciting for me, believe it or not. Someday it will be for you too, I'm sure. But after that was done, I sat down. I put my feet up. I relaxed. And I just took it easy. So Christ is seated. But he didn't sat down in an easy chair. He sat down on a throne. And now he takes up a new role, and that is to rule over us and to work in us and to empower us to live this new resurrection life in the hearts of those that he's rescued and call his own children. So Jesus is seated in triumph at the right hand of his Father. And that sitting there on his throne signifies the victory that he has won. It's settled once and for all. And this is what it means to be seated with Jesus Christ. And the wonder of it all is that not only has Christ been raised and is Christ seated right now, but you and I are raised with Christ. And Paul goes on to say, you and I are seated with Jesus Christ right now. Let me read that again, verses 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on earthly things. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So that's the reality. That's the truth of our present existence. And yet, still, what does that all mean? To be raised with Christ, to be seated with Christ. Well, of course, it's a mystery, isn't it? It's something that's intangible to us. And we're physical beings. It's a mystery we can't fully explain or understand until we fully realize it for ourselves in the presence of Christ himself. But one thing we can be sure of, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are raised with him right now. And that resurrection, you're being raised, it happened in a moment, and yet still there were defining steps so that you and I could get there and be brought into that relationship. And Paul talks about this in chapter 2 and verse 13. He says, he's describing us and including himself, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. That's the process that God performed in you and me. In order for you and me to be raised with Christ, it means that, first of all, we have to recognize that we're dead. Spiritually dead. You know, there's a lot of popular TV shows now about the walking dead, right? I've never watched those shows. I've seen the commercials. You can't ignore the commercials. But it's talking about the life of zombies, right? The walking dead. And I would suggest that's what it means to be spiritually dead, to be dead in sin. Dead to God and to the things of God. Now, that's a pretty striking illustration to say that people are walking zombies, isn't it? Spiritually dead. We remember Frank Sinatra and his theme song, I Did It My Way. And there might be some positives that people would take away from that song. But I think it says it all about being spiritually dead. No matter how noble and spiritual we are, if the bottom line is that we only did it my way and not God's way, we're spiritual zombies. We're dead. We're going in a direction for ourselves instead of going in God's way. We're headed in the way of spiritual death or separation. But here's the wonder of it all. To be raised with Jesus by God's amazing grace is what it means to be alive in Christ. And God did that even when we were enemies, even when we were opposed to him, even when we were part of the walking dead, living for ourselves. God, in his grace, his amazing grace, made us alive in Christ. And that's the life that is truly life. And that's what Paul talks about in the second part of Colossians 2 and 13. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. To be made alive with Christ is what it means to be born again. And the first signs that you are born again is that your faith is riveted and focused on Jesus and his cross and his resurrection alone and nothing else. And you want to turn from that old way of being the walking dead and ask for forgiveness. And it means that by God's grace, you are forgiven. He forgave us all our sins. And he goes on to say, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Your sins, past, present, and future, are nailed to the cross and removed from us as far as east is from west, as we are trusting in Christ alone and turning away from trusting in ourselves. And I've asked the Lord to forgive us of trying to do it my way instead of his. And so to be raised with Christ is what it means to be alive in Christ. God made you alive with Christ, Colossians 2:13, to be united to Jesus Christ. And this is one of the richest, most encouraging concepts in the whole Bible. It all comes down to that one little word, in. And that word is used 200 times to describe your relationship to Jesus in the New Testament. You are in Jesus Christ. You are united to Jesus Christ. And to be in Christ, to have that mysterious union with Jesus Christ, is at the heart of your salvation, of your saving relationship, and you have the power to live this resurrection life. And so this, to be united to Christ, is what Paul was describing in Colossians 2 and verse 12, when he says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. That's describing how you and I are connected, joined to the resurrected Christ as we submit ourselves by faith to him, represented in our baptism, and are raised with him through faith in the power of God. You and I are raised with Christ. It's at the heart of your salvation. And so we can say with Paul in his testimony in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's our confidence. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And so to be raised with Jesus means that you are joined to Jesus Christ in his resurrection as well as in his death. And that's the point of verse 3 there of our text, chapter 3. For you died. You spiritually died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You are dead to your old lifestyle of doing it your way and to the lifestyle of the world that's controlled by sin. And now your new life is hid with Christ. Not that we are hiding our new life from the world. We don't hide it under a bushel, no. But it's hidden in the sense that it's secure. It's hidden, your life is hidden in the hand of God. As Jesus assures us, no one can take you out of my Father's hand. We all need to be reminded of that and assured of that every day of our lives because of the sovereign grace of God. And all this is what it means for you and me to be raised with Christ. That is, if you are in Christ by faith, this is your new reality, the new normal, as we hear so often. And now we need to live it out. To become what you already are, that's the life, the resurrected life that the Lord calls you to become what you already are, to become in practice what you are in principle. You already are raised with Christ. Now live it. Realize fully that resurrection life right now, as it will be fully realized when you really are raised in that last day. People are looking forward to graduation, right? When's that graduation going to be? We don't know now. They've got to figure that out, right? And they're figuring it out, and how the school year is going to end, and how young people and students are going to get their degrees. But there's going to be a time when all the paperwork is done. The tests will be completed. The grades will be in. The papers will be written. And you will have completed the course, and you can be considered to be a graduate. It's just not official. You haven't walked. You haven't put on that cap and gown. The castle has not been turned. And so it is with us living this resurrection life. We have been raised with Christ. People just can't see it as clearly as we will someday when we've actually walked and have gone through that graduation ceremony. Everything's left. Everything's been done except the walk itself. And the wonder of it all is that you and I possess within ourselves right now that resurrection life. That's your position, that's your standing, that's your status right now. You and I are already wrapped up in the robes of Christ's righteousness. Well, if that's my status, if I've already been raised with Christ, then what's my strategy? And Paul tells us there in verse 1, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. Verse 2, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Set your hearts on things above. What are the desires of your heart? Is the desire of your heart for Christ no matter what? You keep coming back to him no matter how many times you fall. And this is the theme that Paul uses here throughout this passage of putting off the old and putting on the new. Verse 9, you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Putting off the old, putting on the new. And it's been suggested that this is not necessarily an imperative, something that is commanded to do, as much as it is descriptive of who you are already and the process that is happening in your life and mine right now. Think about it this way. You're already wearing those royal robes, right? The most beautiful, most stylish clothing that you could possibly wear. They've been given to you by God. You won't be able to take them off. He's put them on you for eternity. You're wrapped in the robes of Christ's righteousness. The question is, why is it that we keep on putting the old shabby rags over those beautiful clothes? You know, when I sit down after I've worked in my yard, I have these old jeans that I wear in the yard, and I enjoy those jeans. They embarrass my family because they have holes in them. And that's, you know, that seems to be the style today, unfortunately. But they're comfortable for me. And isn't that true of our old lifestyle? It's comfortable. Doesn't the writer of Hebrews talk about the pleasures of sin for a season? They are pleasurable. But they take away from the new life that is truly life, that is already ours. That new righteousness. And so we have to keep looking in the mirror of God's word and realize that that Those old styles that are so out of fashion, as far as God's concerned, just don't fit. In fact, they take away from all the blessings of the new life and the new style, the most beautiful clothing that the Lord has given us. And that's this life of love that Paul writes about here. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this resurrection life we have in Jesus. We thank you for this new life that can never be taken away from us. Forgive us of detracting from that new life by trying on the old ways. Help us to turn away from them and to determine by your grace and power to keep putting them off and then putting on the new life of love and patience and kindness. Thank you for this new day, this new week, and this new opportunity to live the life of Christ. May the power of Christ come upon us in new and mighty ways, and we give you the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, 690.